Today I have the great pleasure of introducing our guest preacher, Reverend Delonte Golston is the pastor of Peace Fellowship, thank you, in Deanwood. Pastor Delonte is a native Washingtonian whose parents moved to the city to escape racial terrorism in South Carolina and Georgia. He is faithfully and joyfully married to Claire Wiggins Golston, who's also here. We're happy to have you here, Claire. And their daughters, Evan and Olive, are hanging out in Kid City. So the Golstons live in Ward 7, where Pastor Delonte shepherds Peace Fellowship Church and organizes Peace Walks DC, which is a coalition of churches, community organizations, survivors, and advocates committed to ending police and community violence. He is a public theologian, a songwriter, and a musician who loves singing and writing about the change we want to see. He is a proud alumni of DC Public Schools, of Swarthmore College and Fuller Theological Seminary, and I'm honored and privileged to call him my friend and my brother. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Delonte up here. I'm going to pray for him, and then would invite you to give him a warm Christ City welcome. Delonte, you want to come up? God, I pray for my brother, and I pray that that your spirit would fall afresh on him, that you would give him the words that are for us to hear, and the call that is ours to hear,
yes, God,
and the actions that are ours to follow through on, God. Would you give us the courage to face your spirit's leading,
yes,
to respond as you would have us as you would have us respond. And so I pray for your spirit of freedom over him as he preaches, as he brings your word. And I pray that we would have the freedom to respond as you lead us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, brother, man. I didn't know you can take it out of ivory, too, man. I see you on the guitar before. Y'all got a real worship leader. Y'all got a few worship leaders in the house. It's good to be with y'all today. My name is Pastor Delonte, as has been stated. I'm really glad to be here. I certainly give thanks to God for the sweet presence of the Spirit that's already in this place. It's been really nice to just worship with y'all and to hear the hymns of Zion, as we call them, just waft up like a sweet fragrance. I was in the back in the teacher's lounge, amen, getting ready. And that's a proper teacher's lounge back there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm grateful for that. But I was certainly thankful to just be able to just hear you all worshiping together. I really I enjoy being in a place where I can hear the babies cooing and oohing and aahing. At our church, the kids are everywhere, so it makes me feel at home to be. There was a baby in the back that spotted me and didn't let me out of their sight. So certainly thank God for the invitation to. Reverend Dr. Justin Fong, I appreciate you, brother. I know y'all don't do titles here. That's okay. Caroline, who is here somewhere. Hey, Carolyn, I'm saying the name wrong. I apologize. Carolyn, I appreciate you. And I saw Daniel. I know Catherine is somewhere, probably in Kid City, with Evan and Olive. To my wife, who is here. We have had a rough, long weekend. Our daughter got sick on Friday. We had to take her to the ER. She's five, and a whole lot happened. I'm not going to get into all of it right now because we still need to process all of what happened. But God is a healer, and I'm really thankful that I could come here today. Even got a chance to run 13.1 miles yesterday. I'm so sorry if y'all were trying to get anywhere yesterday, but you can blame me and 30,000. It felt like it was a million people out there. Yes, anybody go? Was anybody there? Nope, y'all still at home. Amen, but I need to be. That part. Certainly to Andrea Ackerman, Pastor Andrea in the back on the ones and twos, DJ Andrea, to her husband Andrew, who I haven't met yet. I'm looking forward to meeting him. To Reverend Dr. Matthew Watson, they just call him Watson. He just walked in the room right on cue. Amen. And to the dynamic Lisa Watson, you do it all, sis. I seen your book is out. What a powerful couple. Come on here. Come on, give some love. Amen. To my sister Nikki Wiggins. I've been hearing so much about Kids Church at, what do you call it, Christ City Kids?
Kids City.
Kids City. And Teen City. Teen City, we see you, Teen City. My man with the green hoodie in the back. I appreciate that. Just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Represent. Amen. The Celtic strain of theology. Y'all can research that later. That's all right. Certainly, I'm thankful just to be welcome to my sister Jocelyn. Anybody stand behind today for the Easter rehearsal? Got real quiet. One person. I got one woo. Just one. Come on, y'all. We can do it. You don't even have to know how to sing. My brother with the heart shirt, you don't even know how to sing, man. You can just come. It's for you. That was for you. Oh, man. Well, I feel like I got my magna cum laudes, my summa cum laudes, and my thank you laudes out the way. I think there's a word from the Lord for the people of God this morning. I know I'm in good company, so I'm glad to be able to make myself at home. And y'all already doing great work in the city. I may have some challenging things to say to y'all, but we all gonna be friends in the end. Is that all right? Amen. I say we all gonna be friends in the end. Is that all right? Yeah. All right. Cool. We all agree. Praise the Lord. For the short time that we have together, I just want to tag our text this morning with this title, and it's just the title: Are You Sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Let's pray. Gracious God, you're the one who knows us and you love us as a father to the fatherless, even as a mother to the motherless. God, you've revealed yourself in the person of Jesus Christ, despised and rejected by men and women. A brown baby, nearly killed even before his life began, suffered, dead, died, and bled on the cross, rose for our sins. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, that sweet Spirit, she is a comforter that comes to us and gives us everything that we need in our moments of need. And if I mess anybody's theology up, I'm sorry. Lord, we thank you for your presence now. And we ask that you would just come to us, Lord, in and by and through even me, dusty, full of imperfections, at times raggedy and ratchet, but you decide to use me. So thank you. Thank you for the privilege and the honor to preach your word. Now, Lord, speak, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you sure? Are you sure? So I'm a 80s and 90s baby, born and raised in the city. What they call us now? They call us geriatric millennials. I'm feeling every bit of that Jerry and the Atric right now. My ankle and my thighs are hurting. Thank God for Epsom salt. Come on, touch your neighbor and say thank you, Lordy, for Epsom salt. You know, when I grew up, 8th Street, you know, we had DDT peach shops. Everybody was wearing Madness gear, FUBU. I grew up in the city. My aunt and my uncle and my cousins lived down the street on Wiley. So I grew up in this neighborhood, coming to visit my family on a frequent basis. I live a conflicted life because I went to Swarthmore, and it was people from Swarthmore that started the Atlas Theater. So I saw gentrification coming like 20 years ago, and I was like, ooh, I feel real tense in my body right now. I don't know what to do with all of the things that are happening right now in my city. But this is the city I grew up in. I mean, look, listen, I remember the days when they would the fire department would come and take the lock off the fire hose, fire hydrant, and let us play in the streets. The boom boxes would be out. We'd be listening to, you know, Run DMC and Chuck D and we were listening to a little backyard band, a little junkyard. I'm in Northeast, so we were listening to Northeast Groove. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in here? I'm by myself. That's all right. I'm just going to go down memory lane if I got to do it all by myself. I'm a child of the 80s. I remember, in the 80s and 90s, we watched, amen, Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. We did watch Thundercats. Thunder, thunder. Come on in here, somebody. Thundercats. I remember. Anybody remember? I remember Lucille Ball reruns, Looney Tunes, a dibbity 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 dibbity. That's all. Come on in here, somebody. I know that I'm not by myself. I remember this for the teens. I'm just giving you a little bit of context of who I am, where I come from. Is that all right? Man, he old. That's what they said. Man, he old. Lucille Ball, that was in black and white back. I remember Salt and Pepper. I remember, you know, when Beyonce was still in that trio they used to call Destiny. Somebody about Destiny's Child. Come on in here. I remember when I was in college. Come on, Lauryn Hill was Miss Education. Lauryn Hill was on was our theme track. And when my wife just closed her eyes, she said, "Baby, don't go too far." She said, "Don't go." But I think. What one of the things that when I think about this text, that what came to mind was there was a commercial in the 80s and the 90s, and it was called "Raise Your Hand If You're Sure." Somebody said, "Oh, Lisa, by her, it's just me and Lisa. We remember." And it was a brother in the classroom. We in the school. He was in the classroom. He raised his hand. Sure was deodorant. I don't even know people even use sure anymore. I think everybody's using, I don't know, whatever they use in the day. But in the 80s, mid to late 80s, right, that part, it was like the brother was on the train, and you know how it is on the train. We done, you know, I rode the train yesterday to get down to the marathon. You want to be able to raise that hand and be confident, amen, that we're not having an issue. Oh, I'm by myself still. I'm going to talk to these folks. We're going to want to raise our hand and be confident that we're not having an issue. But as we turn to our text this morning, you know, I can't help but be struck by the confidence that Peter and all of the disciples that co-signed with Peter on this notion that when Jesus says that you're going to be scattered, Peter is the first to raise his hand because he's sure and says, "Lord, even if I have to die with you, God, I will not abandon you. I will not fall away." And of course, the text that Reverend Lisa read for us, it said what? "And all the disciples with him said the same." I don't want to be too hard on them because, you know, it's not their faith in Christ that concerns me. I know the disciples, just like we have faith in Christ. You know, they had already seen Jesus and Mark, I believe it's the 7th chapter of Mark, Jesus fed the 5,000, and then he, in Mark's gospel, then he turns around and feeds the 4,000. How'd y'all deal with that in your series so far? Jesus is working some miracles. Jesus is already healing. I don't want to get into ableism here, but Jesus is healing those who are mute and are deaf and are blind. But the reason why Jesus heals the mute and the deaf and the blind in the Gospel of Mark is not because there is some kind of dysfunction behind those who are deaf or mute or blind. Jesus is actually using those miracles as a way to talk to a people who can't hear God and a people who cannot see God. For the people who say that they love God, but the heart of God is far from them, I wonder not about their faith. I really don't have much concerns about their faith because, you know, it's pretty easy to believe in God when your mortgage is paid in advance. Praise the Lord. It ain't hard to believe in God when your rent is fully paid. Trader Joe's got all Whole Foods, got your whole paycheck. It's easy to believe in a God that provides when your needs are provided for. It's not just easy to believe and to have faith in a God that's able to do things for you because, you know, that's what we want God to do is to do things. Our theme for 2023 at Peace is God will provide. You know, we believe that God will do things. I believe that God can do the impossible. I still believe that God can make a way where there is no way. I still believe that God can turn the impossible into the impossible. So there's not a question. I know that the disciples are pretty sure that God can turn up where we can't see a way to be made. Anybody ever seen God move in your life? Then we can collectively stand with some confidence that God's win-loss record is pretty good. Now, we have our losses, and we have our questions about those losses. I got some questions for Jesus when I meet him at the gate. Some loved ones I have lost.
some cancer that seemed like it won. I've got some questions, as I'm sure the disciples did. But it's not their faith that really concerns me. It's not even their capacity to confess. Oh, we're good at confession. Oh, we love to write a good statement. Come on in here. I got doctors in theology in the house, so I know we good at saying the right things. Oh, we're really good at following the right folk on Twitter and retweeting all of the right statements that make sure that we are in the right crowd, that we are able to profess the right things about race and gender and equity and inclusion. And we got all of our pronouns, praise God, right. And we can just, when I used to work with kids, I used to say, raise your hand, not this time because you're sure, but raise your hand because you're proud. And then I used to work with K through 5-year-olds at Quaker school because I went to Swarthmore. I really love Quaker education. And I used to tell the kids, raise your hand if you're happy about what you did, and then go preach your hand around and pat yourself on the back. We can do that when it comes to confession. We know all of the right things to say about God. In fact, Peter, who I'll zoom in on for just a moment, Peter is the master of right confessions. Peter in Mark chapter 8, when Jesus is with his disciples, I know this has already been preached on, so I'm just kind of doing a little recap. When Jesus is talking to all the disciples, and Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" It's Peter who is one of the first people to speak up and say, "Well, Lord, some say you are John the Baptist who was just beheaded," and so it's fresh. That trauma is fresh, right? And then Peter says, and others say you are Elijah the prophet, who they'll see on the mountain of ascension. They'll see Moses and they'll see Elijah when Jesus is transfigured. And so they'll say, we know that some say that you are Elijah, some say that you are John the Baptist, but I know that you are the Messiah. That's a good confession. And so confession is not the issue. Faith is not the issue that I believe that Jesus is asking the disciples around in this moment. They've got a good confession. They know what it is to have faith in God. They've seen God's track record. They know that God will provide. But I guess our question or the thing that concerns me is not just their confession, because they know to say the right things, but what strikes me is when Jesus tells them, when they come for me, you're going to abandon me. Oh, Jesus, I would never. Lord, I will always have your back. Come hell or high water, Lord, here it comes. And if anybody falls away, Lord, it won't be me. And all the disciples say, amen. And they start to talk, and you know, they start to fist bump and say, nah, we got your back, God, right? You can see it. Now I can see it. See, if I'm honest, in the church, in the community of God, among the people of God, it's not backsliders that bother me. Because at least we're honest that we're struggling. It's not people who are struggling with addiction that keep me up at night. I mean, if I'm gonna be honest, it's not the folk who can say I've had my struggles. I've had my share of hookups and hangups. I don't really worry about folks who can be honest about what their struggles are. It's the few of us that worship at the altar of certainty that give me pause. It's those of us who say, Lord, I would never. Soon as you open your mouth, soon as you crack your mouth and say, Lord, I would never, I get nervous. Number one, because you don't know yourself. You've engaged in a kind of faith that enables you to compartmentalize who you really are. So you're one person when you're around these folk. You're another person when I see you on A Street, amen. When Pastor Delonte is getting my groove on, you're another person then. Come on, y'all, stop playing with me. I love you too much for us to sit up here and lie to each other. Only folk I'm really worried about in the church are the folks who know how to write a good statement, make the right confession, but don't actually know who you are in the moment of trial. Don't know who you are in a moment of test. So we who know what it is to be picked up from the muck and the mire, we who know what it is to live with depression and anxiety as I do, and I try to be honest about that, but we who have seen God drive the clouds of fear and doubt away, we know how to say, I will trust in the Lord until I die. Some of us have been at the brink of death and have seen God bring us back from the brink. We who have endured and overcome our ancestors being kidnapped and brought over here in chains. We who have had to endure redlining and mass incarceration and are now living through gentrification and inflation because everything is too high. Lord, have you been to Costco? We don't have a problem with saying that we can identify with a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but it's for those of you who are so sure, who scare me. It's you who can write perfect statements. It's you who have a Black Lives Matter sign in your window, but are gentrifying our neighborhood. It's for you who are quick to call the police on my nephew and his friends. It's you who are on all the right nonprofit boards. You're part of all the right Christian organizations. You know every word. You didn't have a problem. You didn't have to read the screen when we sang how great thou art, because you're sure, you're certain about who you are and what you're doing in the city and in our church community, in our families, in our neighborhoods. It's y'all. You know every word to Kendrick Lamar's album. You know every word to Lemonade. And y'all can sing. Come on now. Y'all know the lyrics better than I do. Because I'm a church boy and I wasn't allowed to listen to certain types of music. And listen, it's not that I don't appreciate the sentiments behind the certainty. I really, truly, I appreciate and I value what I believe are maybe even an attempt at a honest, worthwhile. So my dean, my freshman year, Swarthmore was a journey. And Bob Gross, he sits us down and doing what's called collection. We all hold a candle, and he tells us to mind the light. You know, it's a proper Quaker institution. And then he tells us, no matter what they say or do to you, you are still a worthwhile person. I need to hear that sometimes. I'm going to say it for you one more time. No matter what they say or do to you, you're still a worthwhile person. Right, so I even believe that the intentions behind your actions may be, you may desire that they be noble or worthwhile. But I guess it's the certainty that I'm struggling with. Because it's easy to say what you would do when MPD is not pulling up out in front of your house. It's easy to say what you would do when the FBI is not harassing your family because of your standing up for undocumented immigrants or for those who have been unfairly and overly policed. It's really easy to say what you would do when your mortgage is paid. But are you sure? I appreciate that when it comes to the confession of our faith that we are really good at that, and I appreciate that when it comes to who and what who it is that we believe in and what we believe, I really appreciate, but how do we believe? Beloved, are you sure that when the Molotov cocktail is thrown that you're not just going to say Black Lives Matter? When they come for our AAPI loved ones in the street, are you just going to say, well, my pastor, you know. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure that when the moment comes to stand in solidarity with the marginalized and the poor and the overpoliced and the left out and the least and the lost, that we'll be standing together? I want us to be standing together. I want to be sure. As a D.C. native who gets that friendly white I'm safe smile when you pass me on the street, you don't know my name is Pastor Delonte. I want to be sure that behind that I'm safe smile that I get, which really tells me that you really wanted to cross the street when you saw me, but now you don't have no other choice but to give me that look. I want to be sure that I can trust you. I want to be sure that the Christ in me that hangs on the cross, that is an innocent, brown, voteless person. Who is Jesus? We're talking about Jesus who had to run away to Egypt just to be safe in order to even get to be 12 years old. Who is Jesus? We're talking about one when he healed on the Sabbath, they thought it was so illegal that they tried to stone him. Who is Jesus? We're talking about the one that in Luke chapter 4, when he said that there were many who were of Israel in the days of Tyre and Sidon and in the days of the prophet Elijah, that Jesus is sent to Tyre and Sidon. Jesus is sent to the Assyrian. Jesus is sent to the most difficult people and the most difficult places, those who are the hardest to love and the hardest to love in return. Who is Jesus? They tried to push him off a cliff that day. When he started the sermon, like many of y'all, they were laughing and said, oh, that's my dude right there. But by the time he got into the sermon, they were ready to kill him. Who is Jesus? Then when they finally succeeded, this innocent brown body, I don't care what you saw on TV, is hanging on a hill and dying, bleeding. This body is suffering and in agony. And those who were the closest to him were the first to say, Lord, I would never. So, beloved, are you sure? Are you sure? Or would you run? Would you hide? Would you go to Home Depot and board up all your windows? And would you go to your vacation house and just leave the city where my people are really struggling and in need? I remember what it was like in the first couple weeks of the pandemic. Y'all remember what that was like? We always making decisions. And it was in that moment that I was not afraid of my neighbors. We had just been through January 6th, y'all, at that point. I live on the side. My neighborhood is not fully gentrified, so it wasn't my neighbor. I knew we was going to have each other's back. What I was afraid of was what my new neighbors were going to do. How they were going to respond. Were we going to be safe? Were we going to be together? Were we going to have each other's back when it matters? And so, beloved, as you enter into this intentional season of pressing into solidarity, Paulo Freire, this Brazilian educator, he likes to talk about this notion of solidarity with the marginalized and with the poor. James Cone, he likes to say that if you don't have rage, if a God that doesn't have rage is a God that I can't worship, because a God that doesn't have rage doesn't understand what the systems are that hurts me. And so, beloved, I would just invite you to ask yourself a simple question. Are you sure? If you've been worshiping at the false altar of certainty, if you've been eating the corrosive bread of untested conviction, I challenge you today. in love. I challenge you today. Take a look in the mirror. We all have to do it. I'm a pastor with a full salary. I have more privilege than the average person that is a member of my church. I have to look myself in the mirror. I'm a father of two girls who are looking to me to show them what love might be. I have to look in the mirror, y'all. And so, as I close, I just invite you, before we have our time of communion together and to come to Christ's table here at Christ City Church, just take a moment. Let's just reflect on those three simple words. Are you sure? I'll give you a moment of silence to do that now. Amen. So as our worship team comes, I want to let you know, beloved, wherever you saw yourself in the mirror just now, I want you to know and to hear and to say and to believe and to live like the God who Peter and the disciples abandoned. Here's what Jesus told them while Jesus was telling them that you're gonna scatter, you're gonna forsake me, you're gonna lose your way. If you're looking for a little bit of good news in the text and in this moment, know this. He told them he's going ahead of them. He said, you're going to scatter. You're going to abandon me. You're going to betray me. And I'm going to meet you in Jerusalem. I just ate with you at our table. I knew what you were going to do. And I'm still going to come and see about you. Would you meet me there? Would you not allow yourself to be arrested by so much shame and guilt that you won't even meet me there? Would you meet me there? Oh, I hear the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I hear Jesus still saying to each of us that once we take that long look in the mirror and we come to terms with who we really are, that same God will meet us, will go ahead of us. That's the same God that went ahead of God's people in the middle of the wilderness with a pillar of a cloud by day, knowing that there would be times when the sun is so hot that when it's bearing down on your back that you would begin to cry out and say, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt, Moses? I wish we could just go back. When it gets hot and you get tested and you get tried, that same God is still going ahead of you to meet you in Jerusalem. That same God is going ahead of you with a pillar of fire by night, knowing that the nights are long. We are just, thank God, coming out of the longest night. We're about to be We're about to make a shift. We're about to make a shift, y'all, in a couple weeks and say goodbye to these the longest of nights. But even in the midst of the longest of nights, God still gives us a pillar of fire by night so we can see through the night. That's our God. I am so glad that that's the God that we serve. I feel like preaching. I know he's playing real soft behind me, but I feel like preaching in here. The God that we serve always goes ahead of us. And even when we abandon God, God never abandons us. I will say it again. Even when, not if, when we abandon God, God will never hear me. Never. Abandon us. That's our God. Come on here. That's our God. And that's good news. So for everyone who knows that you are a betrayer and an abandoner of God, know that you are welcome here at the Lord's table. This table belongs to God. And you are welcome here. So it was on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he gathered with his disciples. Lord, don't let me drop this laptop. Thank you, Jesus. He gathered with his disciples. Even with those who would betray him, those who he knew would abandon him. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. I am the bread of life. He said, take and drink from me. If you do it, you'll never hunger or thirst again. That's good news. That's good news.